The following sermon is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
For the rest of our time together here, though, we're going to work our way through a very familiar psalm, Psalm 23. Perhaps some of you have memorized it. I oftentimes find that in Scripture that we are in a lot. Familiarity can sometimes take away the preciousness of the truth. And so when you hear something sung or you recite something or you read over something, you miss out on a lot because you've been through it so many times that your mind just starts jumping ahead to the next section without actually reading what was there. And so I hope that this morning we can just stop for a moment and just read what David was saying in Psalm 23. I like what Charles Spurgeon said about this. He preached on it some five or six times, it says, and he once said, "I cannot say anything new of this text, but I can remind you of old and precious truths." And so as we read through this text, I hope that you're not just waiting for the next line, but you can take a moment and really meditate on what the psalmist is saying as we go through. You know, I heard a saying several years ago, and it was recently brought back to my attention. It's as shocking as it is convicting. And the man said, "What if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you were thankful for today?" And oftentimes we think, oh, that would never happen. Well, that may be true, but does that mean that we're not cultivating thankfulness in our heart on a normal, regular, daily basis? We often couch or rest our thankfulness in what we see. We rest it in what we have, in material things, things we own, the things we use, the thing we fill our houses with, just our daily lives, the material stuff we find ourselves being thankful for. And when we lose that material stuff, there are at times that our hearts start to become discontent or unthankful. And if I were to ask you, when was the last time you sat down purposefully and just thank God for his care toward you? Not because of your material blessings, not because of anything around you, but just his unseen care over you, despite all the turmoil in your life, the hard times, the confusion, despite the fact that things are seemingly out of control, not going the way that you want. Have you just taking a moment to sit down and just thank God? And really, as I said, that's my hope for this evening, that for the next few minutes that we're in this psalm, just you and I can sit here and we can thank God for what he has given us, what he's provided for us, that he himself is our shepherd. We forget that God is not just the creator of the universe. He didn't just create the universe and then stay aloof, stay away from his creation, allowing us to go through life's struggles on our own. But that as our creator, he is also intimately involved in every aspect of our daily life, even the most seemingly insignificant ones. And my hope is that as you and I remind ourselves of all that God has done for us, we can't be anything but thankful and praise him for his love and his kindness toward us. So a simple outline for this morning, as you look at Psalm 23, we're just going to see three continual realities. And I like that phrase. It may sound a little clunky, but realities, things that are true, continual, meaning that they never stop. Three continual realities of God to stimulate thankfulness in our hearts. So three things that are always happening that are real, even if we don't feel it, see it, or sense it. And God, I believe, tells us these things here so that we will be thankful. So follow along as I read Psalm 23. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So first thing we see in these first three verses, verses 1 to 3, is our first continual reality of God. Really simple as you read through that, is that he cares for you. His care is upon you. And so can you say that you are thankful that God's care is upon you? And you may ask, how is God actively caring for me even here tonight? And I think as we read through this psalm, and I'm as guilty as anyone else, and as you're familiar with the text and you read through the Bible, you read over things that are there to bring meaning and comfort to us because it's so familiar. And I think we could spend the next 20 minutes talking about just this first verse, but I do want to point out a couple things here in these first couple of verses that shows that God's care really is upon you even right now. And the first one is, easily put, the Lord is my shepherd. That personal relationship between David and his shepherd. David didn't view God as one of many shepherds. He didn't view God as a shepherd that didn't know his flock. And so do you know the Lord as your shepherd? Not that he is one of the shepherds that is out there, but that you are a sheep that God knows personally. The Lord is your shepherd. He cares for you right now. As his sheep, we all have a tendency to go astray. At times, the shiny things of life grab our attention and shift our focus, and we find ourselves chasing after things that are not our shepherd. But do you know, beloved, even at that moment, the Lord is still your shepherd. There's this confidence here that's found in his Lord and not in his riches, as David writes this. He wasn't looking for assurance from anything outside of God alone. And so ask yourself, have you submitted to your shepherd? Is he where your confidence lies? Is he your shepherd, or is it supplemental in your life? There's something else that's taking care of you, and Jesus is there, your shepherd's there for the hard times, but when times are easy and going smooth, that's when you're taking care of something else. Or can you confidently say that the Lord is your shepherd? The second reason is, as he says, we will not be in want. I shall not want. This doesn't mean that you'll never want anything. But it does mean that your shepherd knows you and that you will always be without need. When your trust is in the Lord for all that you need, you can assure yourself that if you think you are lacking, that you are not. If there was something that you needed and you did not have, you could be sure that the Lord, as your good shepherd, would make sure that you had it. And what this actually leads to is a life of contentment. Think of the things you desire and you don't have. We rarely think of the heartache that we are spared because our good shepherd keeps the things that we want from us. We only think of how much we want something and how much we can't have it. But because your shepherd loves you so much, he spares you the heartache of allowing you to have the thing. Are you thankful that your shepherd does not allow you to have all that you have ever wanted? Do you think he withholds from you because he doesn't love you or because he doesn't care for you? But in fact, it's quite the opposite. Your shepherd is a good shepherd. He knows you, and he knows you so well that he knows exactly what you need and when you need it. He loves you enough that even when you desire something so badly, he withholds it from you for his glory and for your good. The third thing we see there in verse 2, it starts with two truths, and these are joined together. Your shepherd makes you lay down in green pastures, and then he leads you beside quiet waters. Do you know what this means about your shepherd? Do you know what this means about the Lord Jesus Christ? He actually knows you. I love Psalm 103 because it says, he knows your frame is but dust. God knows you so well that he knows where to lead you and when to lead you there. His care is upon you. He has not left you so that you have to try and find rest somewhere on your own. For the sheep, there's no better place to be than by rich green pastures and still waters. The sheep can trust their shepherd to lead them where they need to go. And as one shepherd commented on this verse, he said, we can trust in our shepherd that as one pasture runs out of green grass, he faithfully has another ready for us. We don't have to worry about the future. We don't have to spend time agonizing about what may actually never come our way. We can just be thankful that right now, our shepherd cares for us. He knows what we need, and he knows what we need to have. So you can put your mind at ease. Your good shepherd, Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Your shepherd knows you. Let your good shepherd lead you to those green pastures. Let your good shepherd lead you to those quiet, still waters. Don't get ahead of him. Don't stray behind him. But by faith, follow him as he leads you. Fourth, in verse 3, David says about his shepherd, he restores my soul. For me, probably the best part of this whole psalm. The Hebrew word here that David uses for restore actually means to bring back, to bring refreshment, to repair. As we are by those still waters and we're safely on that green grass, this isn't just for personal pleasure and gain, but our shepherd actually desires our souls to be restored. This means that God doesn't just save lost sinners and then bring them into the fold. Your great shepherd also restores you as a Christian when you have wandered away from the truth. And he never lets you get too far. As your good shepherd, he always has his eye on you because he knows that your soul is prone to wander. And as a good shepherd, he's always watching, bringing you back. This is not in a punitive case. There's no punishment that's mentioned here. He's not waiting for you to fall down. He's not waiting for you to sin. He watches over you so that he can care for you. Through the good and the bad, our shepherd makes sure that our souls are well cared for and watched over by him. God wants you to have joy in your life with him. We know that there has never been one sheep that was under the great shepherd's care that has ever been lost. Finally, David says in verse 3 of his shepherd, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And really, this one just explains itself. Our loving shepherd's not going to lead us astray. He's not going to take us to places that are not righteous. He doesn't make us choose between the lesser of two evils, as you often hear. This does not mean he'll never lead us into a place that's uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that he'll never lead us into a place that we don't want to be. But as he is the one leading us, we do see some truths here that I don't want to miss. First of all, it's our shepherd who guides us, meaning we are not alone. We are not left to figure out where to go, and we're not left alone in the dark places. He is our shepherd. Second, there are paths of righteousness that we can travel down. This is a path that our great shepherd has right now for your life. We know we are on this path as we follow our great shepherd and his will for our life. And lastly, we know that we are guided down these paths of righteousness for a very specific purpose, as the psalmist writes, for his name's sake. Do you know, believer, that the shepherd is guiding you not because you are so good, not because you've finally done everything right, But do you see why he's leading you there? So he can showcase the greatness of his grace. So his glory will be on display. And we know that the paths that we are led down are the best paths for us because our shepherd is the one who is leading us down them. So we're told in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is how God, your good shepherd, cares for you. More than a theological truth, but an actual lived out reality, his care is upon you, whether you feel that it is or not. So in those first three verses, you have that continual reality of God that his care is upon you. The next two verses, verses 4 and 5, we have the second continual reality of God, and that is his presence is with you. So not only is his care upon you, but our God doesn't sit out into the universe and hope that everything goes okay. His presence is actually with you all the time. And I just want to read you a small portion of this great poem, late 19th, early 20th century. The author is Henry Barry, and he writes, "In pastures green, not always, sometimes he who knoweth best in kindness leadeth me, in weary ways with heavy shadows be. Out of the sunshine warm and soft and bright, out of the sunshine into darkest night. I oft would faint with sorrow and affright. Only for this, I know he holds my hand. So whether in a green or desert land, I trust, although I may not understand." As we all know very, very well, when following our great shepherds, there are times when we are led into places that we would rather not be. Times in our life that don't make sense. Times in our life that are not joyful. We may not fully even understand what is taking place. As Christians, we will sooner or later face these realities. Times of anxiety, depression, hurt, despair, unprovoked tragedy, and a million other hardships that come upon man living in a fallen world every day. The question is, though, where do you go when these times come upon you? If you just take a moment, you look at the change in the language in Psalm 23. Verses 1 to 3, David is talking about his shepherd. He was talking about who his shepherd was, what his shepherd does, and how his shepherd cares for you. Do you notice in verses 4 through 5, there's a change? In verses 4 through 5, he talks to his shepherd. It's no longer about the Lord, but now it is to his Lord, to his great shepherd. Within our times of despair, there are two truths here that are presented that we as believers would do well to accept. The first one is that our shepherd is the one who chooses our path. And that means that the path that we are on is the very best one that we could possibly have, regardless of what we believe. If there were another path that would be more beneficial to you, you can believe that the Lord himself would make sure that you were on that path. The path of life that you were on is exactly where the Lord has you. I was listening to a sermon through, I think it was 1 Corinthians this past week, and I heard this saying, and I thought it was really good. God tailor makes our trials for us. The path that you're on, because your shepherd knows you, knows exactly what you need when you need it. Think about the comfort that actually comes from that. Your shepherd knows you so well that he wants to see you grow to be more like Christ. So he tailor makes your trials to produce in you Christ-like character, unique to you. Not the trial itself, but what God's using for that at that moment. As you traverse this world, he gives you exactly what you need. And the most wonderful thing is none of it is wasted and none of it is sporadic. The second truth here that you see is that your shepherd is with you the entire time and he sees you through it all, meaning his presence never leaves you. David says that even in those times of despair, he feared no evil. And you ask, how can he say that with such confidence? Because he knew his great shepherd was with him. He knew his shepherd was comforting him. Notice also the relationship between David and the Lord. In times of darkness, and this is true for us as well, notice that the Lord was not ahead of him, the Lord was not behind him, but it says there that the Lord was with him. And so even as you're in those times of despair, the Lord is with you. And I love Psalm 73:23. The psalmist writes, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand." Do you know the presence of the Lord in your life right now? Even in times of hardship and despair, are you thankful? Are you thankful that the Lord is there? And as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 73, are you thankful that the Lord is taking you by your hand and walking with you whatever it is that you are facing? We are never promised to be free from evil in this life. In fact, Paul writes in Acts 14:22, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So the promise we have is many tribulations. We're not promised freedom from trials. We're promised never to be alone in those trials. That's why David, you, myself, we can all confidently say that we truly fear no evil. We don't deny the presence of evil. We don't deny hardships. But we choose to trust our loving shepherd instead of trusting our fear that something may come. And that's where we find our comfort and our thankfulness, knowing that when we are in those times of distress, when we are confused and we look and we don't know what's taking place, our shepherd never stops working. His rod, his staff are there to fend off enemies, to keep us on that righteous path. The Lord knows when he needs to protect us and also when he needs to discipline us. The Lord's presence, though, is not just to guide, not just to comfort and guard. Do you notice as he's writing here, it's also there to soothe as a friend. In verse 5, we have this language of fellowship and closeness with the Lord. Even in our darkest times, surrounded by enemies, we can have sweet fellowship with the Lord as he is the one taking care of us and he is the one ministering to us. And make no mistake, this isn't because you or I deserve this lavish treatment. It's not because we behave so well and our obedience is unrivaled by anyone through history, and now we have done enough to earn the favor of the Lord. In fact, this is solely based on the grace of God himself. This is from his goodness, from his mercy, as he looks down upon us and lavishes his love upon us. In verse 5, the sheep did nothing to earn the favor of the shepherd. But yet the sheep is being abundantly, abundantly shown grace simply because God himself is good. And I also want you to realize as you read this, this wasn't an angel that was sent from the Lord. This is not a servant that was hired. This is the Lord himself coming and ministering to us. He is our shepherd. While in the valley of the shadow of death, we can have that confidence that we are not strong enough, but that the Lord knows and prepares something grand for us. In the midst of your long dark night, are you thankful that your shepherd prepares this place for you to find that needed refreshment for your soul? That rest that your soul needs, your shepherd knows, and he prepares that for you. He's not waiting until the fight is over. He's not waiting until you finally get things right. He is there right now, and he desires to have this sweet fellowship with all who call upon his name for salvation. So you have your first continual reality that God cares for you. The second one is that God's presence is with you. And then finally, in verse 6, we have our third continual reality of God, is that his blessing is for you. Even when finding himself in this dark valley, of the shadow of death, as it says, where were David's eyes pointed? What was his attention being drawn to, even as he was in the presence of his enemies? David was not looking to his own resources or to the overwhelming circumstances that he's found himself in. He was steadfastly looking to the Lord for his comfort. Oftentimes, when we find ourselves in the midst of trials and hardships, we tend to look inward. We tend to look to ourselves. We tend to think about ourselves. We tend to see the areas that we're lacking. We take our eyes off of that person that brings us the power to get through it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. David knew he couldn't do it on his own, but he knew by God's grace that he'd be able to go through this. And so the first thing we see there, David was certain that goodness and loving kindness would follow him as long as he lived. He knew that God's blessing was for him. And notice this shift in perspective. Because David knew the Lord was taking care of him in the present, he was confident of the Lord's care for him in the future. And that's the same for us. We don't know the future. When we start thinking about the future, rarely are our thoughts returning to us with some sort of happiness. We have a tendency to think worst case scenario as the normative practice. But why, if God is taking care of you in the past and currently taking care of you in the present, would he then somehow stop taking care of you in the future? David looked back, he saw the hand of the Lord guiding his path, tending to his soul, and providing all the needed provisions that he had. So the question we ask our own heart is, if God has taken us this far, why would he ever leave us in the future? And I hope when you ask yourself that question, would he ever leave me in the future, you answer yourself swiftly with a resounding no. The Lord doesn't just start our life and then leave us to figure it out. And I like this Hebrew word here that David uses, and it says, will follow me. And some of your translations is a little bit different. But when you look up this verb, I really like it because it actually means to pursue ardently or to aim eagerly to secure. Do you know what that means, what David is saying? The believer is being ardently pursued by the goodness and loving kindness of God. As you're going through your trial, as you're going through the dark night of the soul, as you're looking around for answers and wondering where is God, let your mind rest on the fact that he is ardently pursuing you, eagerly trying to secure you with his goodness, with his loving kindness. He's not leaving you. There's a steadiness of kindness, mercy, and support here. And I like what Spurgeon says regarding this verse. If you are the Lord's sheep, you will be protected, provided for, and guided till you reach the upper fold of the hilltop of glory. So David was certain that the goodness and loving kindness would follow him. And secondly, David was confident that after this life was over, he would be with the Lord forever. David said this in Psalm 23. We read this same truth that Paul would write later in Romans 8, 38 and 39. And Paul wrote, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well beyond this life, beloved, well surpassing the care and presence of the Lord that we Christians experience now, the next life and all that it has for us will far exceed anything that we know to be true right now. David knew this life was not all that there was. He knew the Lord's kindness and love towards him was full, but certainly not final. Our blessings from the Lord are not terminated by death. They're fully realized by death. When we get to eternity and we dwell in his house under his care forever and ever. So let me ask you this as we end. Are you thankful for what the Lord has for you? Are you thankful that as you look back over this past year, though I am certain that each of us have faced our own hard times, our own dark times, some confusing times, maybe times when you seemingly just didn't know what was going on. But can you say, as David did, that the Lord never left you to be on your own and that he is your shepherd who cares for you? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you have never left us. Lord, you have never forsaken us. Lord, even in the darkest times, Lord, you are there with us. And I pray, Lord, that each of us would know, Lord, that beyond the theological truth, but Lord, we would trust that your presence is with us, taking care of us. Lord, we are very thankful for all that you've done for us, and we pray, Lord, that you would continue to lead us and guide us for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.